I'm sure most of you know that I've grown up through the Boys Brigade. My parents weren't particularly church people, although I was christened just up the road at St Michael's Church. I didn't go into church until I think I probably got to 7 or 8 when I joined Life Boys. That's what junior section was called in those days. And through the Boys Brigade, I've learned quite a lot of skills and talents. I'm not sure this is one of them, but one of the things that we used to do round at the First Enfield when we had Bible class and you became an NCO in the company, you used to have to sit at the front with the captain and the speaker, and we learned how to announce the hymns, to do the readings and to do some of the prayers. So that stood me in good stead. But I think amongst all the other things that I learned, my music, how to march, how to carry colours properly, was first aid. And that's one of the things that I've continued to do. When I first went to work, I worked in an office which was on a factory site. And having learned first aid in the Boys Brigade and taken part in the first aid competitions, I volunteered to do first aid. And because up to that point, I'd done a bit of first aid at camp, you know, putting plasters on and things like that, digging splinters out. And certainly it didn't prepare me for what I would find in a factory setting. I could tell you some stories, but we've got young children present. We did have a man once. He was working on the production line, and this pipe thing got blocked. Now, some of the older people, it got like a worm gear inside it for carrying sand up, because I used to work for Rubroid, and they used to make the bituminous felt that you put on your garden shed, amongst a lot of other things that they used to make. Anyway, he opened up the inspection hole and decided to poke his finger in it. Well, most of his finger went in, but only half of it came out. Not very intelligent. So anyway, I get a first aid call and I go running round to the first aid room, and there's this man there and he's got half his finger missing. And there were other similar events like that. And so, I mean, those that are in Boys Brigade will often see that either Vivian or I have got this with us. And we know how much first aid has changed over the years. Because when I had a quick look in all the stuff that we have, you don't have nice triangular bandages like we used to have. Look, they're almost made of paper, because everything now is it's disposable, isn't it? So you can pass that round and have a look at it. But this is the new type of triangular. Anybody know how to put triangular bandage on, by the way? You do, good. It's always a handy thing to know. And the thing I always remember, point to the elbow. Whichever type of sling you're putting on, and normally it's just the standard arm sling where you have your arm down here, always put this point to the elbow. So you go up the body like that. So when you put it on, it looks like that. Put the arm in and then you go up there like that, and it becomes very easy. But I actually found that a lot of the time, and although, you know, I've got absolutely everything in here for doing minor operations, although we're not allowed to do that anymore anyway, that you can pass that around and have a look. Because we weren't, I mean, when we work with the carpenters, I used to have a pair of splinter forceps, and we'd be digging around and pulling these great lumps of wood out of fingers and things. And it used to be quite interesting, but then they said, oh no, you can't do that anymore. The same as we couldn't give paracetamol and things like that. And essentially, all you could do was cover it up and send them off to their local GP or phone an ambulance and get them up to hospital if it was that serious. And occasionally we did, you know, we did have some like that. Unfortunately, we know that strokes and heart attacks are more common now, and our diagnosis and treatment has improved so much better than it ever used to. And so as a first aider, this, you know, you're very limited in what you can do. But the other thing that we were always taught to do was to improvise. So instead of using an arm sling, you can get a copy of the Times, and if you just roll it up, all you've got to do is give somebody like that, and that you put that under their arm and it supports them. And so, you know, one of the things we used to like to do in competitions was, and this is common really in older people, is the fracture of the head of the femur. When you get to my age, your bones start to get a bit brittle, and if you have a fall, it's normally in the hip or the top of the femur that goes. Now, what we used to like to do was to do them up for a long journey. That involved setting up two splints. So you'd have a splint up the outside of the leg, and that used to go up under the arm. Then you had a splint between the legs, and then you had 9 bandages going all the way up. So you were like this. You wouldn't do that now. All you do is you'd make them comfortable, you would support the limb, you make the person comfortable however they are, and you'd phone for an ambulance. So they've taken all the fun out of doing it. Because while you're putting a bit of tension on the leg and hearing the bones grate together and all that sort of stuff, because that was one of the things that they used to tell us, is how to identify those things. And we used to make up these little words. Please let, now the youngsters won't know about this, but the old people, please let sixpence drop into uncle's cap. So, P, pain, L, loss of power. And that's how, and those initials, please let sixpence drop into uncle's cap, was a way of remembering how to diagnose a broken bone. And the last one, and I'll leave you with this thought, the last one is the one that the instructors always say, you never look for. And it's a strange word, and it's called crepitus. And that's when the ends of the broken bones grate together and make this grinding noise and cause severe pain to the patient. So that's why these days they say to you, support the limb if it's broken or damaged, make them comfortable, wait for the ambulance, because ambulances now have got so much better equipment, and the paramedics are so trained so well that they've got pain relief, they've got things to be able to sort the limb out properly. And we've seen how much our medical knowledge has improved. And so often, you know, a well-meaning first aider can cause more damage than good. So I've never treated anybody for a fractured neck or head of femur or pelvis. I've never had to put 2 splints in and 9 bandages, and I don't suppose, hopefully, I never will.